I was told by Donna this morning that it is Trinity Sunday. I had no idea what Trinity Sunday was. I thought it was Pentecost Sunday, you know? But she said it's also Trinity Sunday, so celebrate the Trinity. Well, the Holy Spirit was released on this day, and so the world truly came to know the Trinity on Pentecost Sunday. So I can see where it comes from without having to be told I'm thick, but not not completely dense. The festival of weeks, 7 weeks before the harvest season, seven times seven is 49, right? So we add a day onto it when the Holy Spirit showed up on Sunday, and we got 50 days of penta, like pentagram, like pentagon, five-sided building. 50 days since Passover, right? Passover starts the Festival of Weeks, and on it goes. Anyway, so this is Pentecost Sunday. And so, 11 churches in Cloverdale, our little tiny burg, Stefan is the best in Cloverdale. I heard that. Did you not hear that? Seven or 11 churches in Cloverdale are... Is he yelling at me? 11 churches in Cloverdale are reading from the same scripture. And the scripture is Ephesians 3, 14 to 21. It's essentially a prayer, so you can kind of let it wash over you as I read it. Okay? Ephesians 3, 14 to 21. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able, and this is one of my very favorite scriptures, so. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? So 11 churches are hearing that this morning. It's being spoken out, declared in Cloverdale, that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And for me, that's a lot. I don't know about you, but I can think about all kinds of stuff. Well, I was going to preach out of that scripture, but God had, I think, a different plan. And so I'll present it to you this morning, and you can see whether you agree with me or not. Stefan, I didn't know what he was going to be preaching on. He preached out of Job, and that's one of my major scriptures this morning. So God works those things and confirms those things. I want to talk to you about Leviathan. Leviathan. That's something that I had not spent a lot of time on, to be honest with you. I didn't understand it. I didn't want to understand it. There's too many other good things that I wanted to focus on in the Word, and so I just left it alone. And it seemed to be to me that no one but the kooks sort of spent time with it. So, yeah, guilty as charged. So anyway, I started to look at it because it just came into my heart. And you know how God confirms things? Well, he was bringing along this idea of a crocodile to me. Now, Leviathan is compared by some to the Nile crocodile. Nile crocodile. Should be a rap, shouldn't it? It's also compared to things like Ogopogo or the Loch Ness Monster or a whale or all kinds of things, you know. So that shows you how well it's understood. Everybody has their own picture of what this Leviathan is and what it means. But when you're being processed by the spirit that is Leviathan, everything starts to look differently to you. And I want to go into that for a few minutes. But I was hearing things that I had never heard before. I'm at the park with my granddaughter. I get to spend way more time with her now than I have been for a while. She's living at our house with four of her siblings. So anyway, she's at baseball, and one of the little girls there, they're all that big. One of the little girls, they don't catch real well, and so she's going after these balls with her mitt underneath and not trying to catch, you know, kind of like the manly way, you know, but she's looking at this thing, and she misses a ball like that, and her dad says, "Use the crocodile," and I'd never heard that. I'm thinking, "Is that you, Lord?" Yeah. So the next time she got a ball like that, she goes like that, like a crocodile mouth, right? That made a whole lot of sense. I'd never heard it before. I'd been around ballparks for all my life. Never heard crocodile that I know of. Never hit me anyway. But this week it hit me. Crocodile. Okay, I'll listen to this crocodile stuff. And so I started looking at it, and you know, the Leviathan is mentioned in Psalms, sort of in Proverbs, in Isaiah, and in Job, and in Ezekiel. Now, something that's in that many different places, you'd think I'd have paid attention to by now, but I didn't. You can call it whatever you want. So, what is this Leviathan? Now, I don't want to read through Job 41, where we have the biggest description of it, because it gets really confusing, you know, and so we can read into it in a lot of different ways. But one thing we do know is that it's a twisting spirit. And it's not, they say it's not a spirit, but it's a principality. So, which is bigger than a spirit, if you go, we battle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and, you know, those kind of things. So bigger than a spirit, but it's a big, great big thing. And it hangs around water, they say. Doesn't matter to me. This thing is attacking me, and I want it gone. So, I don't care where it lives. I don't want it hitting me or my friends. And so, like a crocodile. A crocodile, we saw them down in Costa Rica, and they kind of sneak up without anybody knowing, without their prey knowing, and all of a sudden they grab it, pull it into the water, and twist it till the thing dies. They just back and forth or twisting around and around, and they kill it that way, and then they leave, and they're, you wouldn't even know they were there, but their prey is dead. And so its plan is to twist, and so what it does, and I'm offering this to you, you know, you can take it or leave it. You may have to go through it one day, so I'm giving it to you the best I know. So that you can help others with it. We'll say a prayer as a church toward the end of what I'm doing here, to break the power of it in our lives. And from everything I read, the best book I found on it was a thing called Leviathan Exposed by Robert Hutchkin. Robert Hutchkin. And it really lays out a whole bunch of good stuff. But let me give you the sifted down version, the executive version, as they say, executive summary. this thing, if we read Job 41, the last verse, 34, I think it is. Let me get that. We see that it describes Job 41, 34, yeah. Describing Leviathan all the way through this chapter, a whole chapter about this guy, and at the end it says, he sees everything that is high, he is king over all the children of pride. All the children of pride. So, pride is how Leviathan gains access. Okay? And pride is so subtle. When I started to look at it, I was really kind of pleased with my humility in my life. No pride here. But I found myself rising up to challenges about the church and about people in the church and kind of getting, we have done this and we have done that and we can, this wonderful ministry to the poor and we're going to this supernatural school going for 10 years. And when I checked it, it really was pride that was rising up in me. It's good to recognize that those things exist, but it's the grace of God by which they exist. It's not because I have put in blood, sweat, and tears to make this thing wonderful, although I have, but it's been for Him. But I was taking credit in my own heart and rising up to the challenge to this thing. And so I had given it access in my life. Subtle, it snuck up on me, and then it starts to twist. It'll twist words in the air so that you say one thing and you mean that thing, and somebody else hears it entirely differently. And they will rise up and take offense at what you just said. And when what was in your heart to say wouldn't have had offense attached to it. But because it gets twisted. Now this happens in marriages. Oh, does it happen? Oh, sorry. I have the best of intentions. No, it happens in marriages, in friendships, in family relationships. But where this thing wants it most is in church. Now it talks about this thing living in the sea, and that can be taken as the sea of humanity, and it hangs around the ships, and that to me, a ship on the sea of humanity, I think, where there is rescue, where there is safety, that's a church. A church. And so it hangs around the. And you can check this out. It's in Job 41 and Isaiah 27. Hangs around the ships, the churches, to bring devastation. And so when I started to check with some other church leaders that I trust, they say, oh, yeah, that happened, Leviathan was around this church and it was around that church, and some of them don't exist anymore because of the plan of the enemy to, it takes its tail and it swipes a bunch of people out and they never talk about it. They're just gone. And you never see them again. And it's almost eerie the way it happens. And they just aren't talking about it. Where did they go? Well, I don't know. Weren't they here? They're gone. And so this thing happens. And the way it does it the best is by attacking leadership, right? Smite the shepherd and the sheep will scatter, right? And so that happens. Now, I have one way of looking at some stuff that's been happening around the church in this last little while, and you can take it or leave it for what I'm giving you. But I think you can take this and use it, because when you are in a conversation with someone and they rise up because of something you've said, or you hear about somebody who had a conversation, I didn't mean it, but all of a sudden they're angry and they rise, you know. That's the spirit of Leviathan that has been released in that situation. And it's causing misunderstanding. And it's causing division. And it's causing divorce. Now, those were the two things I heard from God before we came into this season that we're in. That there's a spirit of division and divorce. I didn't know it had a name at that point. We fasted and prayed about division and divorce and wanted that broken, but turns out it has a name. Now, we must remember that as big and as ugly and as terrible as this thing might be, our God is more bigger. and He is more able, and He is absolutely amazing. So this king over the children of pride, we can't take it out. It says all the way through Job 41, you can throw anything you want at it, and it'll bounce off its scales. Oh no, God, what do we do then? Because we're used to doing our own stuff. We're warriors. We can take this thing on. We'll go out and we'll declare against it. And we'll... Nah. The word says you don't do that. It says you'll be sorry if you do that. I don't want to be sorry. Not anymore. So it says in Isaiah 27, verse 1, in that day the Lord, with His hard and great and strong sword, His great and strong sword, will punish Leviathan, the fleeing serpent, Leviathan, the twisting serpent, and He will slay the dragon that is in the sea. Who gets to beat up this guy? God. God's going to show up and do it. So, Our situation in all of this is to avoid pride. But it's subtle. We very seldom know we're being proud. Or by the time we realize it, it's too late. It is upon you. But all we have to do is repent and turn it over to God. And He, as our warrior, will be roused and fight for us. That's how hard it is. Now, then we have to make sure we are vigilant to guard our hearts in all of this stuff so that we don't enter into pride again. But it's easier to stay humble when you realize how big God is and how wonderful He is and how delightful He is in all of His ways. And so humility is so very important. When we recognize who He is and who we are, right? We get into this friendship thing with Him where we take for granted who and how big He is and how awesome He is. And the fear of God seems to have disappeared from the churches. It had disappeared from my life, I must say, until this last little while. I understood. I had this comprehension of God, but I wasn't living my life that way because I am his friend. He calls me his friend in our quiet times together. He is very familiar with me, but that familiarity had created a kind of a false place for me in my heart, not in his. He always has known who he was and who I am. He has no misconceptions there. But I had created this place of familiarity. And he is awesome in all of his ways. And we need to always remember that. So good and so delightful. Ah, so good. So he is going to do these things for us. And I want to just remind you that love wins every time when we turn to it. Love wins every time when we turn to him, because God is love, right? This thing wants to hijack the supernatural power in our mouths. You know, we have this ability. God says the power of life and death is in the tongue, right? Does everybody understand that? The power of life and death is in the tongue. So we have this ability to speak out life, which is what God calls us to. Speaking out life. But you'll watch where this principality is involved. It will have people telling lies about each other. It'll have people rising up and saying death words about each other. These are good Christian people saying really not nice things, like stuff that you wouldn't ever imagine a Christian saying. But all of a sudden this, how dare they do this? And I know what they really mean. And they're saying, they're decreeing, this thing has stolen the ability to decree death from us. When I would never want to speak death over anybody. And nor would Christians that know him. But this thing steals that decreeing ability. So we don't speak life, which is what we're called to do by decree and declaration, but we speak death words. How could we do that? And it's a powerful thing. Our words have way more power than we can comprehend. We are supernatural beings. And the stuff that we say has eternal consequences. Right? And this thing steals our ability to decree. So we begin to speak death and cursings upon people. The word in Isaiah 27 that we just read, that is translated as a fleeing spirit, is a Hebrew word that means kind of dart back and forth. This serpent darts back and forth. And what that does is one person speaks something, it gets twisted. And so they rise up and they say something back and it gets twisted. And so then this person that spoke first rises up and speaks something back. And so it darts back and forth between the people and it gets worse and worse and worse and worse. And you think you can never come back from this thing. But God is able. God is able. Job, and Stefan took us through some wonderful stuff in Job today. But Job was a proud man, proud of all that he had. And I would be too with all those cattle and donkeys and all that stuff and wonderful family. But that, the way he began to speak, roused the Leviathan spirit. It says in Job 3:8, this thing is roused by negative talk. And so that attracted his friends who said terrible things about what he was doing. Misinterpreted all that Job was about, gave him terrible advice, his friends, and it was all attracted and a part of the plan of this principality to destroy this man of God. And it looked like how do you get all that back? But God gave him double back. It looked like he was toast. His wife said, curse God and die. But he wouldn't, and God not only restored what he had, but gave him double. That's the God that we serve. And if the testimony is in there, he wants to do it again. So if he has wreaked havoc in your life, if he has destroyed relationships in your life, where you can't have a civil conversation with your brother or sister or sibling or a parent or teacher or workmate, you know, where you just come up against that thing, and it is that principality of Leviathan. Look, if you would, at how much power it has in North America alone. You cannot find people on one side to say a nice thing about people on the other side politically. And not just politically, but in religions, you know, like everybody is freaked out about Muslims. As bad things happen around them. But that's this thing that's come in between. Those people are made by God in God's image. And they were died for by Christ the same as you and I. And so how on earth can we say the things that we say about them? And so what do you think is the controlling principality that's dividing the nation, that's dividing a people and having them say horrid and ugly things about other people so that they think that the Republicans think that the Democrats are idiots. And the Democrats think the Republicans are really stupid. Hillbillies. And do you think that that's a normal, natural thing? Because those people were created by God to love one another. Something is in their midst and causing division and strife and misunderstanding and a rising up of pride. And this thing has been having its day for too long. It doesn't say that we can take it out of the heavenlies. We don't have that kind of power. We can't even get together as churches and take it on. God says, I want to do it. I want to do it. Your job is to stay humble. Your job is to keep the pride out of your life. Your job is to not, it says that we're not to devour and bite one another. Right? Leviathan has seven heads, it says. And I don't want to stay on that, but I want to look at a correlating scripture in Proverbs. Where is it? Proverbs 6:16. There's seven things that God hates. These six things the Lord hates. It actually, there are seven in here, but the word says, he's a mathematician too, but these six things the Lord hates, yes, seven are an abomination to him. Proverbs 6, verse 16. Okay? These are an abomination to God. A proud look. What's in your heart when you look at someone? When you judge someone? When you try to bring them down to size, even if it's just in your own heart? If you're, because you're putting yourself above them as you look at them and as you judge them and as you, like by judging them, we bring them down, right? They're lower than me. Because in order to judge, you have to be higher, right? That's why they put them up on, anyway. These six things the Lord hates, yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that are swift in running to evil. A false witness who speaks lies. And one who sows discord among brethren. One who sows discord among brethren. You know that the principality is alive when you're hearing things about church or church leadership. The word says that you're to honor those in authority, that he puts those people in authority. And as soon as you hear a negative word about them from someone, you are hearing sown discord. Right? These things are an abomination to the Lord. Whew. It just kind of does me in. So, pride. What kind of things does that include? Because that's what we got to try and avoid. Condescending attitudes towards others. An independent attitude. Well, I can't stand the church anymore. I'm just going to go and be at home. That's a proud attitude. You're above the church, right? You've judged it, and it is going to hell. Self-glory. Trying to set yourself up for unmerited favor. Self-confidence. Now, that's beyond the ability to just, I have self-confidence that I can walk down those stairs. That's in, I can do this thing. I am a very good worker and I can make this happen. Like, that's what's in that scripture that says, don't say, I will see you tomorrow. You say, Lord willing, I will see you tomorrow. Because I will see you tomorrow puts me in charge. I'm the God, and I say this will happen. But if you say, Lord willing, I'll see you tomorrow, then it's all him. Right? You catch the difference? Critical and condemning attitudes and thoughts. That speaks for itself. Critical and condemning attitudes and thoughts. Boasting over achievements and revelation. That's where I let this guy in. And I'm sorry that I have. And I've led you with that. Is because I was proud of what we had done. But it had gone beyond the pride that you feel when you see your child born. I think that's a pride that God likes, from my understanding. Oh, it's my child. God has blessed me. And you feel this welling up in your heart. That's totally different from a thing that rises up and says, we did that. We did that. You know, it's our accomplishment. And so that's where I had... And the fact that we are a people of revelation. You come to our church, you will get revelation from God. Our worship really is something special. It's something special because God decides to inhabit the praises of his people. My bad. Sorry. Dishonor of authority. We're to esteem and honor those in authority, even if they're not under Holy Spirit control. Look at David and Saul if you need an example. You're not to honor them if they deserve honor. The world can do that. We're called to be supernatural. They will know that we are Christians by our love, not our ability to discern the disgusting behavior of people and to call out the dirt in their lives. That's not how they'll know that we're Christians. It's by our love. And that starts in the house of God. Do we love one another? Really? Desiring to be served. Jesus didn't come to be served, but to serve. It's a posture of humility, a desire for reputation, desiring to control others or use a position of authority or a gift to fulfill selfish ambition. The only way that we can effectively counterattack this assault is to live in humility. Humilité. So we think that we live in the kingdom of God and serve the kingdom of God, and yet in the midst of that, there's another kingdom, the kingdom of the children of pride. This king has been ruling for too long, I think. And I submit it to you. So what I'm going to get you to do is say after me a prayer to break the power of this thing. I will read to you the prayer first. You can decide whether you want to do it or not, right? I hate when I have to speak after somebody and I'm deciding at that moment, where is he leading me with this? What is he going to say? You know, I want you to know what you're getting into, and you make up your own mind. If you don't want to be a part of it, that's great. I'll still pray for you after. So we're going to pray this with our hearts. Lord, I ask you to remove from my life any influence from the spirit of Leviathan. I reject this spirit completely and wholeheartedly. Forgive me for any ways that I have served this spirit, either intentionally or inadvertently. Forgive me for any ways in which I have been twisted or have twisted the truth, that I have listened to distortion of the truth or have distorted the truth. I devote myself to bringing unity, not division, into the church and will therefore honor other members and those that you have placed in authority. By your grace, I will speak the truth in love and dedicate myself to exposing the truth of your word in my life. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. So if you can say that with, as I read it to you, stand with me. Did you do that? And say after me, Lord, I ask you to remove from my life,
Lord, I ask you to remove my life,
any influence from the spirit of Leviathan.
Any influence from the spirit of Leviathan.
I reject this spirit completely,
I reject this spirit completely,
and wholeheartedly.
Forgive me for any ways
that I have served this spirit,
that I have served this spirit,
either intentionally or inadvertently.
Either intentionally or inadvertently.
Forgive me for any ways,
forgive me for any ways
in which I have been twisted,
in which I have been twisted,
or have twisted the truth,
or have twisted the truth.
That I have listened to distortion,
that I have listened to distortion
of the truth, or have distorted the truth. I devote myself to bringing unity,
not division,
into the church,
and will therefore honor other
members and those you have placed in authority.
By your grace,
I will speak the truth in love.
And dedicate myself
to expressing the truth
of your word in my life.
In the precious name of Jesus.
And all God's people said,
Amen.
Lord, we've had enough of the spirit of Leviathan. Thank you that you want to take it out. That it's your desire to remove this thing. And that our position is in it is to humble ourselves, to seek your face, and to repent of our wicked ways, as it says in 2 Chronicles 7. Your promise is that then you will hear from heaven, and that you will forgive our sins, and that you will heal our land, Lord. So would you come and heal our land? Thank you for forgiving us. Thank you that I know that most people here have inadvertently been a part of this, and pride has crept its way in like a subtle crocodile looking for its prey. But we're tired of the twisting. We're tired of the back and forthness of this thing that has attacked us. Lord, would you now do that? We have sought your face. We have repented, we're sorry, Lord. I am sorry. And so I ask you to bring blessing upon this, your people. For you love to do that, yes, Lord. And if we have been standing in the way because of our decisions, being sucked into this thing, then we now have cleared the deck for you, Lord. Bring your blessing. Bring hope. Bring joy, Lord. That's our word for the year that you gave us. Joy, Lord. Let us see joy in a new way. And we bless you for what you're about to do in the lives of this, your people. In Jesus' lovely name. Amen.